It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, that's right, Terrence. Bring it home, baby.
Okay, I'm vibing. Right? Okay. This has like a lot of like a little Billy Ocean to it.
Okay.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
I gotta tell you, I've never heard this.
You've never heard this song?
Not once.
Oh.
And maybe when we get to the hook, I don't know.
It's coming up momentarily. Isn't this just late 80s? Pop, R&B.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, I told you. I like it. Never heard of it before.
Yeah. Damn good song. Add that to the more. I wonder, sometimes, Shime, do you hear a song or do you play a song? Good morning, everybody. It's Fitzy and Shime alongside the one and only almighty and powerful Jackson Burns producing this iteration of the Greg Hill Show on the 4th of July, 2024. We are happy to be the companion radio to the start of your day and what we hope is a phenomenal 248th birthday for the greatest country in the history of time. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. If there's anything top of mind you want to talk about, Boston sports related or more. Shime, whenever you hear a song like that and you think like, should I add that to the portfolio? Your giant Spotify folder that you keep together for rejoins on the Greg Hill Show.
Yes.
Do you ever think like, what would Greg say about this song?
That's exactly what I think.
What do you think he would say about that one?
He would hate it.
Oh, why? Yeah.
It's just not. Wiggy would like it. Courtney might like it. Greg would be like, ugh, so low energy.
I don't know. I can see him dancing to it, kind of vibing.
No. That's not a Greg vibe.
Can I tell you something? That song is not even on Spotify. I had to find it on YouTube.
You're kidding.
The original is, but not the Terrence Trent D'Arby one.
Wait, isn't Terrence Trent D'Arby's the original song cover? That's the original version.
Oh, is that right?
So, yes.
Yeah. This is. I'm sorry, Fitzy. You and I are usually, simpatico with these type of things, but
musical
this is
lockstep,
much
yes.
out of my wheelhouse.
All right. Well, every now and again, it's okay to go out of your league and or depths, my
Hell
friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we learn. A day live without learning something new is a day wasted. Just like a day without enjoying throat missiles and craft beer as well, Shine.
Preach.
There we go. By the way, quick check-in on your weather today. Looks like Boston is going to experience, at 3 in the P, a high of 86 today, though there are some lingering T-storms. But it says there could be up to like a 20% chance of a storm. Okay, I'll take my chances. I'll roll out the fireworks. I'm not going to bother putting up the umbrellas or extending the full patio tarpaulin, if you will, today.
I love a summer storm. And bring it on, man.
You like us? Yeah, maybe at night or late afternoon, like Fort Lauderdale
style.
Yeah,
not right smack dab in the middle of my day.
Yeah, I don't want one at 3 o'clock. I mean, you got the cornhole game rocking. Side note, or rather a side question to both of you. Obviously, all yard games are to be played with one hand available for a beverage.
Always.
What is your particular favorite, be it bags, hot shoes, many other different games?
It's one game for me, and it's one game always. Can jam.
So you're a can jam guy.
Big
because Hart and I had
guy.
This discussion a while ago. Can you have a proper yard game if it doesn't free up at least one hand for a beverage? And can jam.
Oh no, you have to play with one hand. It is a requirement in my home.
I thought you used two.
No, you're not allowed to use two. That's the point. So the idea is you throw with one hand, and you also are playing defense with one hand. At all times, you should have a beer in the other hand.
Can you please explain this can jam?
Yeah, so basically, it's pretty
Jackson
simple.
Jackson hears it, and he's like,
it's pretty simple.
Is that a band that played the Paradise
Last Night? Anything that has to do with accompanying it with drinking, so let's go. Okay.
Yeah, so it's just, there's two cans. You line them up the 10 to 15 yards apart.
Usually about 20. Usually, I think it's usually around, like, most of these games are like 20 paces.
Yeah, 20 paces apart. And each can has like also a slot in the front of it. And you throw a it's two teams of two. You throw a frisbee from one can to the other. Your teammate tries to deflect it in the top of the can or off the side of the can. Or if you can get it in the slot, you automatically win. And so then you get points based on what happens. 1 point if your teammate hits it off the side of the can. 3 points if your teammate puts it in the can. And 2 points if you just hit the can directly.
How big are these cans?
They're like the size of a small trash barrel. Maybe a little bit bigger than that, but, you know.
Please just replay that last minute of audio of Shime talking about slamming it off the side of the can.
Yeah, a lot of cans. I'm a big can man.
No, but leading up to Jackson, how big are these cans?
that was a sincere question, but as soon as I let it out, I knew exactly how it sounded.
Oh, I'm going to be 11 forever. Holy smokes, that's phenomenal.
You know what? God bless you, Fitzy. It's 4th of July. Yeah. Juvenile humor keeps me going, man.
It always resonate with this person who promises never to act or look his age. So, Shime, I've played Cam Jam. I like it. It's the kind of game where I would almost just rather have a good game, like a good catch, like a good frisbee.
I'm uber competitive, so I need games that I can, like, I can really go at it with people.
Can I ask you, have you ever played Polish horseshoes?
Always. Yeah. Stick the beer bottle on top of the...
It might be the hardest game I've ever played in my life. So it's harder than golf.
Do tell, what is Polish horseshoes?
So basically, there's a beer bottle on top of a giant stick into the ground.
Maybe a ski pole.
That's a good way to phrase it. And then you take a frisbee, and you throw it at said ski pole with the beer bottle. If you hit the beer bottle directly, it's a certain amount of points. If you knock the beer bottle off by hitting the ski pole, it's... like a point or something like that.
We allowed to even say do we have to call it like Eastern European horseshoes?
Thinking that as I mentioned it it's Poland's a great country. Horseshoes is a great game. Awesome combination.
True.
Yeah, and they enjoy their lager beers, often served in bottles over there as well. Yep. So why wouldn't
can
you be
confirm
able to, yeah can confirm as well. That's a fun one. See, like, but to me, like, I've played the can jam. Like I said, I'd prefer just a good old-fashioned game of frisbee. Nice little toss on the beach always gets her going. For me, it'll always and forever be bags, first and foremost. I've just love cornhole. I think it's such a perfectly ridiculous, wonderful game. And I enjoy it very competitively as well. Last year, spent the 4th of July on the Cape. Had a ferocious, ferocious game. Couple matches. We had some father-son matches that my older boy Thomas and I came out on the right side of.
Nice.
In our neighborhood on the Cape. And then later on, as the Miller High Lifes and the Gansets were flowing freer, my neighbor Brett and I got into a cornhole match where it was just every time the other guy sunk a bag, the other guy had to do 10 push-ups. I was in that zone, Chime. You know, like when you've had just enough and you're like, I could throw this dart and hit a bullseye. This frisbee is going in the can.
My golf swing is at peak performance.
I need to hit my fairway 2-wood right now, and I'm going to smash it 260 right down the middle. Like, I got this.
Yep.
So I was right in that zone, and we got going. We called it a match when he was down 500 push-ups to 210.
Jeez Louise.
I had it going on. Now you're probably like, Fitzy, you only brought that up so you could mention you did 210 push-ups. I heard so bad. Yeah, exactly. The next day, but like that's what these games and this idiotic guy things are for as well.
My friends and I growing up though, we used to play beer die a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with beer die, but...
No, I am not. What is that?
So you basically, you grab like two sawhorses. You grab
grab wherever you happen to have a sawhorse hanging around.
Yeah, you have to have them, or maybe you could use a plastic folding table as a base. That's fine too. But then you need a giant piece of plywood, Okay.
Okay.
And so you put rest the plywood on top of the sawhorses on top of the table, and down the middle. So the short lengthwise down the middle, you just line up beer bottles, and that's like the net divider basically. Mm-hmm. And it's two teams of two. You put your cup of beer in each corner, and you take turns throwing a die into the sky, landing it on your opponent's side of the table, and then they have to catch the die before it hits the ground. If it hits the ground, you get a point. If they catch it, no point. If you plunk it into the cup, that team needs to finish their beers, and you get to sign the table.
You have got to be kidding.
Oh, yeah. It is. I have video evidence. It is. We have played this. We played this for years and years and years. It was amazing. It's
15. Is it me or do millennials make drinking games way too complicated?
Yeah, we make them as competitive, and we need to show off our masculine athleticism at all times.
You make them so, like, once you hit four or five beers, you can't figure out what the hell you're doing. So
it's called a boot and rally, Jackson. You got to go figure it out.
Yeah, otherwise now known as the Sam Houser. You try not to hit it and quit it. You have a little reversal of fortune in the cooler, hopefully not on top of the beers. Unfortunately, Sam Houser actually threw up on the beers inside the duck boat, and his wife tried to clean them off afterwards for other people.
Yeah, then throw and then threw the beers to our fans.
What a suvi. What a time to be alive. I see, to me, like, I'll never, like, okay, beer pong, fine. I get it. That's a time-honored, traditional and true game. It's been played in frat houses, tailgates, outhouses, in-houses, hen houses, for wherever and forever. I got it. It's a fun game to play as well. You don't need too much, a bunch of solo cups and a pong ball and maybe a table that's reasonably flat. After that, like, flip cup, never understood it. Don't really care for it. Not my kind of thing. To me, I'll stick with the traditionals. You know, if you want to get crazy with games like that, Shime. What was the name of this one? Beer Die?
Beer Die, yeah.
If this feels like, is this not a Shime family or a Northeastern Massachusetts original? Like, is this?
I know it's more popular now, but like when I was growing up, I didn't see it on the internet. Like, I see it on TikTok every once in a while now, especially amongst the frat houses and the younger men demographic for sure. But as far as I knew, it was just like it was almost like a local thing growing up that just the majority of people in my town and surrounding towns played all the time.
You know, horseshoes obviously was a thing, but then, you know, little too heavy. Then you got to build a horseshoe pit. You got to drive the stakes. It takes up too much real estate.
I'm not a fan of horseshoes. It's more like working out than playing a game.
Yeah. How about bocce?
Oh, big bocce. I used to be a big bocce fan as a kid. Love that.
You can play bocce everywhere.
Old and young can play bocce. It's mm-hmm. a game for everyone.
Exactly. You can play bumpy yard rules. You can have a proper bocce court with the gravel. You could even play on the beach if you find firm sand. Last one, real quick. Have you guys ever heard of Mölkky before?
No, never.
All right. So I just sent you guys both a link to it on Wikipedia. Somebody introduced me to this about 4 or 5 years ago. Basically, it's Finnish lawn bowling. So what you do instead of, it's kind of like bocce in a lot of ways, there are 12 pins numbered that are set up in a specific fashion. And instead of rolling your balls towards like the little golf ball or whatever you call the peg or the pin in bocce, you have this huge wooden dowel in your hand. And the whole entire idea is you throw this dowel at the 12 pins. If you knock down a number of pins, you get for point wise, you get as many pins as you knock over. If you only knock down one pin, you get the specific number of points on the top of that as they're numbered from 1 through 12. And as you continue to knock them down, the court continues to be reset wherever these particular wooden bowling pins are knocked over. It's a spectacular, and you have to go straight to 50. If you go over 50, you reset back to 25.
I tell you, my kind of game is the kind of game where in the first sentence of the description, it says Mölkky does not require as much physical strength as Kayaka.
Nice. Okay.
And there you go. All right. You know what they call the wooden pins in Finnish? Skittles.
Skittles. I'm in. I love Skittles. I like Marshawn Lynch, love Skittles, so count me in.
Precisely. That's my favorite. All right, I'll tweet that one out so the audience can get a quick look at Uncle Fitzy's favorite yard game. 617-779-7937. Is Beer Die the next big thing? Is Mölkky the next big thing? and that we both believe that they should be as well. We will get to what is the next big thing in Boston sports, I think, when we come back, or I'm just going to keep teasing it, kind of like having Matt Damon on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and we'll never get to it. Who cares? We're having a grand old time here on the Greg Hill Show.
It's the 4th of July.
It's the 4th of July, people. And this right here is your trending sports news with Shime Time.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, and they are the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. The Red Sox take down the Marlins 7-2 last night, and it feels like Bayo might have gotten a little something going. He went 6 2/3, 7 Ks, only allowed one run, another one with Miami today, 1:10 first pitch. With Nick Pivetta opposing Kyle Tyler, you can hang out with Cooper Boardman at 12:10 for the MassMutual pregame show, and then Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. The AL All-Star lineups are officially out. Shockingly, no Red Sox players. AL is Adley Rutschman, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Jose Altuve, Gunnar Henderson, Jose Ramirez, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Stephen Kwan, and Yordan Alvarez. And in the NBA, LeBron struck a deal with the Lakers yesterday, getting a 2-year, $104 million extension. That trending was brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. They are the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That is what's trending. More Fitzy and Shime coming up. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Super high energy. I love this.
Somewhere I see a bunch of Gronk brothers having recovery beers about ready to start shirtless bro dancing with each other.
Yes, sir.
I do kind of love, I'm not sure exactly what you, Jackson, keep it rolling for a sec. What do you call it? Like when a song kicks in like this one's about to.
Oh,
like this
hits.
Is one of my favorite kick-ins.
It's called a drop.
The drop.
Shake that.
It makes you wonder, like, when someone finishes a song or, like, they've got the demo ready, and I'd always love to see what it was like the first time when that song was ready.
The first time you hear that drop?
And the first time the producer, whoever was about to put it out or put millions behind it, hears that and just goes, this is how I make my millions.
We need to get this on the radio now.
Absolutely. Yeah, fun fact, that used to be the open to the Greg Hill Show, or the Hillman Morning Show on WAF at one point.
It was?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, they had a new open like every month.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to push anything on you, Shine, but that's what... Yeah.
No. I'm cool.
No, how many different theme songs has the GHS and the multiple iterations therein on EEI had? Like 3?
With me, it's only been like 2.
Because he had that song from Bruce Springsteen for forever, and then I think that got boomered out.
That was a Ken thing, I think, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And then we had Timmy Trumpets. That was the song we had when I first started, and then we have...
I think the Timmy Trumpets one is the favorite, the fan favorite.
I loved that one. I didn't want to get rid of that one, but, you know,
how come you guys had to get rid of it? I enjoyed that as well.
Well, because originally Greg was like, yeah, on the old show we used to make a new open all the time, and so I'm like, all right, well, I guess we're making, like, a new open, and so we did it. And then we tried to do it again after we had this tick, tick, boom one. And I made like five opens, and we could not get a unanimous decision from anyone, even the listeners. And so we have kept the same open since.
It was the Karen Reed trial of show opens.
But literally, it was just a mistrial after mistrial. It was insane.
You're allowed.
Jackson, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yep. I mean, with Wiggy in a room, you can't get a unanimous decision on anything, really.
You know, there's an argument to be made both ways, because you love, you know, like... sitting down, like, oh, there's the, you know, oh, there's the Game of Thrones theme song. Like,
oh, that song hits.
That, yeah, Jackson, if you can find a good cover of that, that'd be great. I'm always down for that. Top 10 TV show theme of all time, for sure.
It's number one.
But, like, you sit down, you know, back, I haven't gotten into House of the Dragon yet, but, you know, when you used to hear that, it was just, you just knew, like, oh, it's Game of Thrones time. It's now going to be incest and dragon swords, violence and boobs, and all the things that you love. So there's something to be said about, like, finding a theme song, sticking with that theme song, and that becomes iconic. That's what you know, like, it's time for the Greg Hill Show. But then there's also something fun about, like, no, we have the tenants and we have all the things that you come to expect and look for, but we're just going to refresh it so as to make sure the audience doesn't get stale, or, you know, because we're also working in a bit of a news cycle with a lot of pop culture and sports, so... you may want to kind of, if you will, refresh the palette or the backdrop.
Yeah, I always gravitate towards the prior there. Like, I just think that, like, there is something...
consistency is key.
Yeah, like, that's why, like, I loved the idea of having, like, for a long time, we had an outro song that I had picked. And, like, for me, it's just like, all right, like, this is the signal to you. Like, all right, this is the end of our show, but make sure to come back tomorrow. And, like, that's why with the open, it's like... It just kind of sparks a lot of memories for me sometimes. And so, like, nostalgia is a big part of my personality, apparently. And so I'm a big fan. Same. But
I'm 100% in agreement with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so can I just mention this? So the closing song, I know it's been replaced with my little stupid little jingle thing, but I agree with you. I think the closing song was – it set an appointment for the next day, because it was almost somber because you know the show's ending. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little bit of a melancholy to it that goes along with it. Like, again, you love to hear, you know, like, oh, the SNL theme or something like that. One of your favorite shows. Like, oh, that means it's, you know, it's late night. It's something you look forward to all week long. But then also just... you know, keeping it different, refreshing, you know, keeping the audience. People like to contribute. Favorite moments of the show shine because now there's such a cast of characters on the show. You weave in different drops and different things for on sure. A regular basis. Hey, you know, it's plug and play and fun. All right. We've been teasing this for close to an hour now. I think we have to get to it at least at some point before we go off the rails once again, which I guarantee we will do, because the 8 o'clock hour is going to be nothing but movies, hot dogs, and fireworks.
And if that's my beer dive video that I sent to the group, because Jackson pointed something out to me and I said, oh, wait a minute, and we need to discuss it.
Yes.
So that there's a tease for you for later.
And Shime, you may need to put that out in the socials, so anyone who's listening who has access to an X or a Twix or whatever you like to call the most annoying platform in the world.
I know. When Shime sent me this video, I was like, oh, man, I wish we were on Twitch today, because it would be a fantastic follow-along video.
My favorite part, Shime, was Jackson got in my ear and said, Fitzy, you see that video that Shime just shared with us? I was looking at it, and I went, oh, man, who's that super competitive guy in the background over there? I don't recognize.
He's like, man, that guy is like Lawrence Taylor in the Super Bowl. I was like, which guy, Jackson? And I had to go through each one. He's like, no, that guy in the black. And I go, Jackson, that's me.
I had no idea.
The guy in the back. You didn't even recognize former Shime.
I did not recognize former Shime.
I had a ton of hair. I had long hair at that time. I don't know if it was long. It was long for me. This was years ago now.
Yeah, so for those listening who aren't following along, Shime sent us a video of, what is it, Beer Dye?
Beer Dye,
Beer
correct.
Dye. And I did not realize it was a video of him and his friends. And there's this guy in the background, three-point stance, like looking like he's like getting a rebound in the NBA Finals. And I go, that's, you know, super intense. He's like, dude, that's me.
Yep, that was me.
That if I close my eyes and I look to my mind's eye, a very scary place indeed.
Yes.
That's almost sort of how I will always see you, Shime, whether or not you end up becoming, you know, the refugee version of yourself or whatever, however much thinner you get and shapely you are now. And I appreciate it very much. All right. Let's just put it out there just for fun, because we have to like at least check one or two. Like, did you guys talk an adequate or requisite amount of sports? Yes, we did, boss. Yes, we did. Even though they're definitely not listening and sleeping in like most normal people should be on the 4th of July. Because you are entitled to your rest before you get out for a day like today. It's going to be a hot one. It's going to be a beautiful one. So, Shime, real quick, I just wanted to get your spin on two things. One, how you think the first half of the year has gone, Boston sports-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, where are we? 6 months in now. It is July 4th. Perfect time to kind of do the halfway point. And then I want to get into how we think the second half of the year has gone. But right now, you know, like whenever Hart and I do a weekend show, we always start our show off with a little fun game I like to call Who Won the Week. And we'll go back, and it can be a player, a manager, it can be a team, it can be a sport overall. So we could almost even play like Who Won the Half Year so far. So how has the first half of the year Boston sports wise gone for you? Obviously it seems like the Celtics kind of won the first half of the year, but how do you think, for a city that seemed to have lost its way after dominating the American sports landscape thanks to Brady and Belichick, and the Red Sox, I guess, for two decades, where'd that first half of the year go for you?
Yeah, the Celtics were clear winners in the first half of the year. I think the Bruins weren't necessarily losers because they won a round in the playoffs, which is more than they did the prior year, and they kind of at least made some noise against the Panthers. So the Bruins, I wouldn't say are winners, but they're also definitely not losers. I'd say the losers right now, to me, are the Boston Red Sox, which kind of stinks because this team is fun. There's some talent here, but unfortunately, they're not getting the pop that they deserve. And no one on the planet is convinced that John Henry is going to allow Craig Breslow to make moves at the deadline, which just puts us all in a bad mood and negatively impacts the Red Sox, which I think is unfair, but unfortunately, kind of that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I would say in the second half of the year right now, like on the outlook, the Patriots have the most to gain here and could be the winners of the year, depending on how Drake May plays, right? It kind of all comes down to football is king in this state. It has been now for 25 years. It is going to be for a long time going forward. And if the Patriots find the next guy at quarterback and are able to kind of grasp at any of that like semblance of the last 20-year dynasty, like they have the opportunity to kind of win the hearts back of so many people.
Can I say I disagree with the so I think the Red Sox kind of are winning at the moment, because before the season and even like the first couple of weeks of the season, everybody just poo-pooed and said, you know, another last place finish. Right now they're kind of, you know, they're kind of in the mix with the playoffs. But if the Patriots, all the Patriots have to do is win two or three games in a row and they will win back the hearts of everybody in New England, I think.
I think we're in it a little bit more for the long game with the Patriots. I don't think there's going to be the immediate payoff or gratification from this team, and I almost don't want there to be. But I'll get to that in a second. As far as how the first half of the year went or how I'm feeling about the Boston sports landscape as we check in here on the 4th of July, my overall take is, you know, John Wick style, like, I'm thinking we're back. You know, No, for real. Like, think about it. Because the Celtics couldn't get it done for the longest time, for several years in a row. That was the biggest question around Boston sports after, first it was will Brady leave, and then sadly we found out, and a global pandemic ensued. And then the question became, will Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum ever actually get it done? And finally, together with the help of some other incredibly talented people, like the, even though he's now well paid, the always and forever perpetually underrated Derek White, Drew Holiday, and the Zinger, whenever you could get him out there, that incredible cast came together. And yeah, they did finally get it done with the help of a couple friends. But the Patriots are in a complete rebuild right now, and that's fine. If they're the ones that are ultimately dragging up the rear, consider that they carried the town for two decades.
They're allowed.
That's fine. The Red Sox are a little bit better, and the best part about the Red Sox right now, even as the Bruins spend a little money this week, which was welcome, Lindholm and the other guy, was it Vatarov?
Zadorov,
close enough.
The other, as some people on Twitter have dubbed him, Zaddy.
Zaddy, okay. Who's your Zaddy? Zaddy, Daddy, Vladdy, Zaddy. So, you know, Bruins making some moves as well. Hopefully they'll sign Swayman to a big, fat, long-term deal soon. We're starting to see the next iteration in the post-Bergeron, post-Krejci Bruins come together. And I think a lot of people like it. But the Red Sox, the thing about the Sox right now is that you've got a bunch of guys that are in that sort of like major league FU mode towards ownership, like screw you guys, we'll get it done ourselves. And this is before they get the call up of Anthony and Teal and Meyer, and there's no guaranteeing that even one of the three of them, Scheim, is going to be a stud. If all three of them come up and hit at the major league level, the Red Sox may have put us through hell for a couple of years, or at least been mildly disinteresting at times. Now they're finally starting to turn the corner. The Sox may actually have the pieces in place to be competitive or dominate for a while to come, at least keep up in the turbocharge ALE. So the Celtics, now that they've re-signed everybody, and I ain't mad about Wick. I think he's leaving us in a great place, and he has done his job as steward of the team for two-plus decades. Sox could be looking to turn the corner. Bruins are looking good. And like you said, if Drake May even comes close to hitting by the end of this year, this is why I don't need 2 to 3 wins in a row, Jackson. I just need to see whether or not they go over their projected Vegas win total of 4.5 games. If I see that the Patriots actually have a decent head coach in Gerard Mayo, competent coordinators, and a quarterback of the future who, God forbid, may actually have some receivers to throw to in the form of Jalen Polk and my guy Javon Baker, then how can you say that Boston isn't back as the number one sports city in America?
Yeah, I don't even think the Patriots need to win football games.
No,
it's not even about that. It's be competitive, and is Drake May anything? Like, that's the big thing I think with the New England Patriots is Drake May going to give you anything? And if the answer is yes, it's like, okay, now we're cooking with gas. If the answer is no, you're right back to the bottom of the barrel and you need to figure some things out.
Yeah, and see, I want to get to that next in accordance with this as well. You know, as we look at the first half of the year, Scheim says the Sox are the only thing that are really kind of holding us back. I feel like we are back overall. I think maybe you're kind of more in my lane, Scheim. Like, but after a couple years off following the utter domination from 01 through 19, we took a little five-year waylay. And I feel like, you know, my big thing was Brady night, in addition to a spectacular night at the stadium and a good time for all, the emotional closure we all needed and desired and deserved so badly, that felt like a torch passing to me. Like, okay, now the Celtics are the team, and some of the other ones will have to get in line and try to help continue to buoy the spirits and the duck boats of the greatest sports city on earth as well. I'm just curious what the next big question is. If the last big question was, following Brady, if the last big question was, can Tatum and Brown get it done? That has now been answered. So maybe, I wonder if the audience feels this way. Is the next big question on the Boston sports scene, I'll give you a few options. Is it going to be the Bruins can finally win another championship? Is it going to be the Red Sox, this next generation of Sox talent, are they the ones to carry the city? Or is Drake May a thing? I wonder which is the next big Boston sports question. But before we bat those around, let me take a quick call, then we'll get to a commercial break. Bobby is in Ashby, and would you believe this, folks? Our first call of the day is in relation to this made-up game that Scheim brought to the table. Good morning, Bobby. Happy 4th.
Hey, happy 4th. Here's to freedom, sports, beer, and yard games.
Yes.
Yeah, I went to Pittsburgh State College in the early to mid-1990s, and we played beer die.
My man.
And tell me if you ever heard of this variant, Sean. If you got plunked and you finished your beer and you spit the die out, you couldn't say the number 5. You had to say biz. If you spit a 5, the other team that plunked you had to finish their beer.
Yes. So our rule was a little bit different. Yeah. So Fitzy, in beer die, you're not allowed to say 5 or 7. You have to say biz and buzz, respectively.
Biz and buzz, right.
And so instead of, we wouldn't spit the die out. Instead, we would finish the drink. The die would be in the cup. You flip the cup over on the table and kind of shake it up, and you call out a number. And if you call out the right number on the die, then the other team finishes their drink. So similar, but not quite the same.
Very nice. Yeah, so it's not made up, Scheim. You're the man.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Bobby.
You know, I got to say, honestly, phenomenal first call.
Yep.
You just got validated for bringing a game that we all thought was completely made up to the table. And now we've learned about variants, biz, and buzz. You can't say five. Who comes up? That's the thing. I am so fascinated by the etymology of things in this life. Who's the first person to brew beer? Who's the first person that looked at an almond and said, like, oh, I'd love to eat that? Who's the first person that came up with beer dye and said, we can't say 5 and 7 and you have to call them biz and buzz? Like, I just absolutely love this stuff.
Yeah, I think the rules are funny, right? Because I think that's one of the few things I enjoyed about How I Met Your Mother is the idea that if there's something that says don't do this, it means somebody did it before that sign went up.
Correct.
And that's the whole reason it's there in the first place. And so the idea, the origin of so many of those different things is kind of interesting. And I have no idea where Biz and Buzz came from, but I love it. And I am here for it. And that's one of my favorite games.
Much like your 4th of July picnic party or buffet table, there's a whole lot out there for you. Some of them have been dug into. Some of these things haven't been cracked into yet. Help yourself to whatever. Fitzy and Sime. Gee, see?
It's all right. It happens.
I just did James Bite once again. You know,
Did I ever tell you the story of what happened to me at a baseball game?
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Now, following Fitzy and Sime, filling in for the Greg Hill Show today, my pal, our guy, John Lyons, otherwise known as the Lion's Den, he's going to be filling in right up until Cooper Boardman has
with
you
KJ.
All set. It's going to be KJ and Lyons. Okay. So it'll be KJ and Lyons from 9 to noon, and then you get Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. First pitch today as the Sox look for the sweep in Little Havana against the Miami Marlins. I just got a text from John Lyons. Beer Die is a great game.
Yep, thank you, Lyons. Appreciate you. Yeah, Lyons and I are about the same age, and he grew up in the town next to me, so it doesn't shock me that he is very familiar with this.
This is unbelievable. I feel like sometimes regionally, you know, like the South Coast, there's the Portuguese food. Certain areas have Italian food, so I get it because of who populated there, who emigrated there, whatever became the thing. But I didn't know that games were like a thing as well, like certain sects of Massachusetts or swaths of New England, other sorts of games were popular for certain reasons. Did someone bring this from overseas or offshore?
I don't know, but we're getting texts like a couple people. That's crazy. I played at Biddeford High School in Maine. They played on the weekends in the late 90s. And there was another guy, UMaine, 0307. We played Beer Die. Like, somebody also said that Beer Die apparently came before beer pong.
You've got to be kidding me.
Beer Die was created in the early 80s. According to a 508 texter, that is what they say.
It definitely sounds like a Maine game.
Yeah, oh yeah,
absolutely.
In the middle of
sounds like a Maine game. Like,
cut down a tree, make a table out of the tree, and
yes,
then you're playing on
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yep.
Game gets ruined when a moose just mauls everybody in the backyard.
Oh, no, Yogi showed up. We got to go.
Oh, my God. See, this is the part. This is the joy. This is why when the boss man tasks us, hey, do you guys mind doing the 6 to 9 shift on the 4th of July? Like, takeoff may not be perfect, but once we get airborne and we decide how the party's going to go.
Zero turbulence on this puppy.
Zero turbulence. And I just love when shows like this find themselves. Who knew that Beer Die was going to become the thing as we talk Boston sports first half of the year, 4th of July party favorites, and so much more. When we come back, we'll get right back up into this business of what we think is going to be the big question in Boston sports in the second half of the year, plus your calls on Beer Die, fireworks, and so much more. Everyone's having a good time when Fitzy and Sime do the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. A whole family of talented musicians. My father-in-law can play 10 different instruments. My wife can play 5. I can't carry a tune. I know. I married into the Von Trapps. It's absurd. You can keep that going, Jackson. This is beautiful.
I can sing karaoke. Does that count?
You have the voice of an angel.
I do.
The voice of
songbird
the voice,
generation.
Songbird,
you know who has
generation.
A voice of an angel, to be real? For real?
The horse of an angel?
No,
or the voice of an angel?
Yeah.
Who?
Billy Lanny.
Oh.
I swear to God. Yeah, midday producer. Yeah, he can sing like an angel. But that's neither here nor there. Sorry.
No, I'm not surprised in the least. I bet he is the Jack Black of WEEI, and I love
Tenacious
that
D.
Yeah, exactly.
We call him Tenacious Bill.
Tenacious B. I'm gonna from this point now call him Tenacious B.
Tenacious B.
I'm a multi instrumentalist as well, just like your wife.
Are you,
Fitzy? Yes.
No kidding.
I am.
What instruments do you play, Jackson?
I play guitar, bass. I can play a little bit of keyboards, a little bit of piano.
Ain't you a one man band?
Look at
How about that? I was going to ask, I can't believe we actually talked through the entire 12-string guitar cover of the Game of Thrones theme song. We were looking for a cover of that during... Isn't that a great verse? I was going to say, like, I don't know if you play an instrument. Can you play the 12-string guitar, and can you play it that well? Because while we were looking for covers of the Game of Thrones theme song, I came across that, and I was just like,
yeah,
this
really
is gorgeous.
Good. But can I let you in on a little secret?
You always can, especially when no one else is listening.
If you can play a regular guitar,
yeah,
or if you can play a chord on a guitar, literally everything you play on a 12-string sounds beautiful. It's a wonderful instrument.
There you go.
Yeah. Aside from having double the number of strings, why 12 strings on a guitar versus
It's thinner strings with the same notes to make it just more full and ethereal, if you will.
There you go. Oh, very nicely. Some people are checking in on the socials right now, Shime, at FitzyGFY, at Shime Time. Chris Sale is now 11-3 with a 2.71 ERA.
Yes,
aren't the Red Sox paying the majority of his salary this year? This is so Red Sox.
Ain't that the most Red Sox thing you've ever heard? I was just about to say.
Yep, it is the most current Red Sox thing you could possibly say. But here's the thing. If he was still with the Red Sox, there is a 0.0% chance that he would be 11-3 with a 2.7.
Oh, he'd be on the IL. He'd have been on the IL all year. That's just the way it would have gone with the Red Sox. I mean, the guy struck out, nine batters last night? He is lighting it up for the Atlanta Braves, and it's just change of scenery. NL might help a little bit. Like, it's just one of those things where you were never going to get that out of Chris Sale, so at least somebody is, I guess.
Sometimes these relationships just ultimately, for some reason or other, are doomed. And it's best to just say, hey, it was great while it lasted. I know it ultimately wasn't as fulfilling as we wanted it to be. There may have been a few injuries, punched television sets, and bicycle accidents along the way that derailed it or prevented it from being what we had hoped it would be in the overpriced long term. There's still a World Series championship. You'll always have those first two seasons. No one is going to take away Chris Sale striking out Manny Machado, dropping him to a single knee as the Red Sox got their fourth World Series of the 21st century. I'm at this point now, with those diminished returns, I'm not holding on to the five-year, $145 million contract Dombrowski signed him to and saying, what a waste of money. The Sox always piss it away. This is, the Sox becoming the Sox all over again. It's no new curse. It's no new jinx. It's a shame it didn't work out. But we've got bright new shiny stars on the Red Sox to look forward to. There's so many different things to actually appreciate about it now. Why sit around? Maybe this is just part of aging. Maybe this is perspective, being a dad, or just being grateful for the now 13 championships our city has seen as other great sports cities like Philadelphia languish with like two championships this century and we've got 13. I'm looking forward to what Tatum and Brown and all of the re-signed Celtics can do. I'm looking forward to the Red Sox calling up all these prospects at the end of this season or early next year. Hell, I'm even looking forward to Tristan Casas coming back and having Craig Breslow remind us once again, Shime, that the best midseason acquisition we can get actually is going to come from our own bench. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Swayman between the pipes for years to come, as well as Drake May taking meaningful snaps at some point this year. Like, there's so much to look forward to. Why sit around and just be pissed about the fact that Chris Sale is bringing it and throwing heat for somebody else?
Well, it's because there's a lot to look forward to, but there's not a whole lot going on right now. Yes, the Celtics just won the title. That was freaking awesome. I'm so happy that they were able to do that, and I love them for it. But now we're post-basketball season. We're kind of in this in-between phase, and we don't know exactly where we're going, and we don't know exactly what we have to root for, right? Because there might be a lot of things to look forward to, but some of these Red Sox prospects may not work out. Drake may not work out, even though I think he will. He may not work out. Like, there's a lot of question marks on top of all of this hope, and that doubt, over the last 5 years, that doubt has become massive. There has been this just giant chasm created from the dynasty years of the last 20 years with Tom Brady and the four Red Sox championships and everything like that. And then post Brady and, post, I guess, Red Sox spending, it's just kind of been a mess. Like, even you look back a couple years ago now with the Bruins, like, they had this world record setting regular season and just lay an egg in the first round of the playoffs to the Florida Panthers, who you now can't beat if you want to, right? You couldn't beat them that year. You couldn't beat them this year. And so it's just, it's, yes, there's a lot of hope, but there's so many questions that it creates a ton of doubt.
But I also don't mind that we had a little bit of a waylay between that dominant double dynastic run where 12 championships, 12 parades, 12 queuing of the duck boats came in tow. And then now, after 5 years, the interminable wait. The second funny thing is that, as we jested for so long, like, oh, God, the poor children of Boston, there's four-year-olds that haven't seen the duck boats fired up yet or haven't seen someone hoist a banner or a trophy. That was actually the second longest gap between championships in Boston sports professional history since we started keeping records, which is mind-blowing because that 5 years sometimes between playoff appearances makes another sports city feel like they've been lucky. And for us, that's not even close. That just, again, points to what allowing some of the old Boston sports pessimism, waiting for the second shoe, whatever it was, to drop. But instead now, like, I'm telling you, people, there is a legitimate potential for an awesome new landscape on the Boston sports scene with the Swaymans and with the guys that the Bruins just brought in and some of the guys growing up in front of our eyes. If Drake May is even a little bit of a thing, and take it from Shime. Look, he's wrong about his Burrows, but he's right about his Mac Joneses, and I think he's going to be right about Drake May as well, because all signs point to this kid being the thing if he's just given the time to develop in the proper infrastructure, which I think he is. And yeah, I mean, what if two of four prospects hit for the Red Sox? Doesn't that mean that there's actually going to be enough of a really good team for people to get behind? God forbid, should ownership ever throw them the support they need?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope, but that's the other issue, though, right? We aren't convinced that ownership is going to throw them any lifeline at this point, ever again. Like, they just don't want to spend money. They don't do it in free agency. They don't do it at the trade deadline, for sure. They're not trading any of those prospects away, even though you have a million middle infielders at this point in your system. And so it's just, look, I agree. There's a lot to look forward to, but for me, like, it's still, there's so many questions and so much doubt that even if Drake May looks like he's working out, like, is Jerod Mayo going to be able to handle it? Is the defense going to be as good as we thought they were? Matt Judon's tweeting random stuff. He he can't get a new contract for himself. Hell, he couldn't get a new contract for anybody he tried to lure here either. What else is new?
And that's so why Hart calls him the worst assistant general manager in the history of the NFL.
He absolutely is. And so it's just, I look at, there's just so many questions with, I look at the Crafts and there's questions there with how they're handling the Patriots. I look at John Henry and how he's handling the Red Sox. There's questions there on top of there just being questions with the teams. And so now Wick Grosbeck is selling the Celtics. And I'm like, oh, God, the one good thing we had going, we have the great foundation, but is there going to be an ownership here that's going to be willing to spend and pay in banners the way Wick Grosbeck was willing to?
Okay, so once again, I'll put it out there for the audience to respond to. You can tweet at us. He's at Chime Time. I'm at Fitzy GFY. This is, of course, at WEEI. You can also text us 37937 or give us a shout, 617-779-7937. Jackson, the multi-instrumentalist, will answer your call while he produces the show and finds fire rejoins for our final hour before we pass the baton at 9 in the a.m. to the KJ and Lions program in advance of Cooper Boardman on the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show, 12:10 in the P here on WEEI. Is the next great question in Boston sports, who will be the Celtics owner and will they give the team the assets they need? Can the Red Sox prospects come to fruition and lead us into a next great era of Red Sox baseball? Is Jeremy Swayman the thing and can the Bruins finally get over the hump that is the Florida Panthers? Or will Drake May be a big deal with Jerod Mayo? Of those four, Shime, which, you know what? Let's tease it out. When we come back, you tell me what you think is the biggest of those four questions. We'll see what the audience says. Then we'll get into hot dog eating contest. Fourth of July cookout etiquette, if you will, and firework fails as we bring you the biggest banger of a final hour we can possibly provide. Fitzy and Shime on the Greg Hill Show with Jackson in tow here on WEEI. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A whole family of talented musicians. My father-in-law can play 10 different instruments. My wife can play 5. I can't carry a tune. I know. I married into the Von Trapps. It's absurd. You can keep that going, Jackson. This is beautiful.
I can sing karaoke. Does that count?
You have the voice of an angel.
I do.
The voice of
songbird
of a
generation.
You know who has a voice of an angel, to be real? For real?
The horse of an angel?
No,
or the voice of an angel?
Yeah.
Who?
Billy Lanny.
Oh.
I swear to God. Yeah, midday producer. Yeah, he can sing like an angel. That's neither here nor there. Sorry.
No, I'm not surprised in the least. I bet he is the Jack Black of WEEI, and I love
Tenacious
that
D.
Yeah, exactly.
We call him Tenacious Bill.
Tenacious B. I'm gonna from this point now call him Tenacious B.
Tenacious B.
I'm a multi instrumentalist as well, just like your wife.
Are you,
Fitzy? Yes.
No kidding.
I am.
What instruments do you play, Jackson?
I play guitar, bass. I can play a little bit of keyboards, a little bit of piano.
Ain't you a one man band?
Look at
How about that? I was going to ask, I can't believe we actually talked through the entire 12-string guitar cover of the Game of Thrones theme song. We were looking for a cover of that dirt. Isn't that a great version? I was going to say, like, I don't know if you play an instrument. Can you play the 12-string guitar, and can you play it that well? Because while we were looking for covers of the Game of Thrones theme song, I came across that, and I was just like,
yeah,
this
really
is gorgeous.
Good. But can I let you in on a little secret?
You always can, especially when no one else is listening.
If you can play a regular guitar,
yeah,
or if you can play a chord on a guitar, literally everything you play on a 12-string sounds beautiful. It's a wonderful instrument.
There you go.
Yeah. What's the, aside from having double the number of strings, why 12 strings on a guitar versus
It's thinner strings with the same notes to make it just more full and ethereal, if you will.
Okay. Oh, very nicely. Some people are checking in on the socials right now, Shime, at FitzyGFY, at Shime Time. Chris Sale is now 11-3 with a 2.71 ERA.
Yes,
aren't the Red Sox paying the majority of his salary this year? This is so Red Sox.
Ain't that the most Red Sox thing you've ever heard? I was just about to say.
Yep, it is the most current Red Sox thing you could possibly say. But here's the thing. If he was still with the Red Sox, there is a 0.0% chance that he would be 11-3 with a 2.71.
Oh, he'd be on the IL. He'd have been on the IL all year. That's just the way it would have gone with the Red Sox. I mean, the guy struck out, what, like 9 batters last night? He is lighting it up for the Atlanta Braves, and it's just change of scenery. NL might help a little bit. Like, it's just one of those things where you were never going to get that out of Chris Sale, so at least somebody is, I guess.
Sometimes these relationships just ultimately, for some reason or other, are doomed. And it's best to just say, hey, it was great while it lasted. I know it ultimately wasn't as fulfilling as we wanted it to be. There may have been a few injuries, punched television sets, and bicycle accidents along the way that derailed it or prevented it from being what we had hoped it would be in the overpriced long term. There's still a World Series championship. You'll always have those first two seasons. No one is going to take away Chris Sale striking out Manny Machado, dropping him to a single knee as the Red Sox got their fourth World Series of the 21st century. I'm at this point now, with those diminished returns, I'm not holding on to the 5-year, $145 million contract Dombrowski signed him to and saying, what a waste of money. The Sox always piss it away. This is, you know, the Sox becoming the Sox all over again. It's no new curse. It's no new jinx. It's a shame it didn't work out, but we've got bright new shiny stars on the Red Sox to look forward to. There's so many different things to actually appreciate about it now. Why sit around? Maybe this is just part of aging. Maybe this is perspective, being a dad, or just being grateful for the now 13 championships our city has seen as other great sports cities like Philadelphia languish with like 2 championships this century, and we've got 13. I'm looking forward to what Tatum and Brown and all of the re-signed Celtics can do. I'm looking forward to the Red Sox calling up all these prospects at the end of this season or early next year. Hell, I'm even looking forward to Tristan Casas coming back and having Craig Breslow remind us once again, Shime, that the best midseason acquisition we can get actually is going to come from our own bench. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Swayman between the pipes for years to come, as well as Drake May taking meaningful snaps at some point this year. Like, there's so much to look forward to. Why sit around and just be pissed about the fact that Chris Sale is bringing it and throwing heat for somebody else?
Well, it's because there's a lot to look forward to, but there's not a whole lot going on right now. Yes, the Celtics just won the title. That was freaking awesome. I'm so happy that they were able to do that, and I love them for it. But now we're post-basketball season. We're kind of in this in-between phase, and we don't know exactly where we're going, and we don't know exactly what we have to root for, right? Because there might be a lot of things to look forward to, but some of these Red Sox prospects may not work out. Drake may not work out, even though I think he will. He may not work out. Like, there's a lot of question marks on top of all of this hope, and that doubt, over the last 5 years, that doubt has become massive. There has been this just giant chasm created from the dynasty years of the last 20 years with Tom Brady and the four Red Sox championships and everything like that. And then post Brady and, you know, post, I guess, Red Sox spending, it's just kind of been a mess. Like, even you look back a couple years ago now with the Bruins, like, they had this world record setting regular season and just lay an egg in the first round of the playoffs to the Florida Panthers, who you now can't beat if you want to, right? You couldn't beat them that year. You couldn't beat them this year. And so it's just, it's, yes, there's a lot of hope, but there's so many questions that it creates a ton of doubt.
But I also don't mind that we had a little bit of a waylay between that dominant double dynastic run where 12 championships, 12 parades, 12 queuing of the duck boats came in tow. And then now, after 5 years, the interminable wait, the second funny thing is that, as we jested for so long, like, oh, God, the poor children of Boston, there's four-year-olds that haven't seen the duck boats fired up yet or haven't seen someone hoist a banner or a trophy. That was actually the second longest gap between championships in Boston sports professional history since we started keeping records, which is mind-blowing because that 5 years sometimes between playoff appearances makes another sports city feel like they've been lucky. And for us, that's not even close. That just, again, points to what allowing some of the old Boston sports pessimism, waiting for the second shoe, whatever it was, to drop. But instead now, like, I'm telling you, people, there is a legitimate potential for an awesome new landscape on the Boston sports scene with the Swaymans and with the guys that the Bruins just brought in and some of the guys growing up in front of our eyes. If Drake May is even a little bit of a thing, and take it from Shime, look, he's wrong about his Burrows, but he's right about his Mac Joneses, and I think he's going to be right about Drake May as well, because all signs point to this kid being the thing if he's just given the time to develop in the proper infrastructure, which I think he is. And yeah, I mean, what if two of four prospects hit for the Red Sox? Doesn't that mean that there's actually going to be enough of a really good team for people to get behind? God forbid, should ownership ever throw them the support they need?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope, but that's the other issue, though, right? We aren't convinced that ownership is going to throw them any lifeline at this point ever again. Like, they just don't want to spend money. They don't do it in free agency. They don't do it at the trade deadline, for sure. They're not trading any of those prospects away, even though you have a million middle infielders at this point in your system. And so it's just, look, I agree. There's a lot to look forward to, but for me, like, it's still, there's so many questions and so much doubt that even if Drake May looks like he's working out, like, is Jerod Mayo going to be able to handle it? Is the defense going to be as good as we thought they were? Matt Judon's tweeting random stuff. He can't get a new contract for himself. Hell, he couldn't get a new contract for anybody he tried to lure here either. What else is new?
And that's so why Hart calls him the worst assistant general manager in the history of the NFL.
He absolutely is. And so it's just, I look at, there's just so many questions with, you know, I look at the Crafts and there's questions there with how they're handling the Patriots. I look at John Henry and how he's handling the Red Sox. There's questions there. On top of there just being questions with the teams. And so now Wick Grosbeck is selling the Celtics. And I'm like, oh, God, the one good thing we had going, we have the great foundation, but is there going to be an ownership here that's going to be willing to spend and pay in banners the way Wick Grosbeck was willing to?
Okay, so once again, I'll put it out there for the audience to respond to. You can tweet at us. He's at Chime Time. I'm at Fitzy GFY. This is, of course, at WEEI. You can also text us 37937 or give us a shout, 617-779-7937. Jackson, the multi-instrumentalist, will answer your call while he produces the show and finds fire rejoins for our final hour before we pass the baton at 9 in the a.m. to the KJ and Lions program in advance of Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show, 12:10 in the P here on WEEI. Is the next great question in Boston sports, who will be the Celtics owner and will they give the team the assets they need? Can the Red Sox prospects come to fruition and lead us into a next great era of Red Sox baseball? Is Jeremy Swayman the thing, and can the Bruins finally get over the hump that is the Florida Panthers? Or will Drake May be a big deal with Gerard Mayo? Of those four, Shime, which, you know what? Let's tease it out. You, when we come back, you tell me what you think is the biggest of those four questions. We'll see what the audience says. Then we'll get into hot dog eating contest. Fourth of July cookout etiquette, if you will, and firework fails as we bring you the biggest banger of a final hour we can possibly provide. Fitzy and Shime on the Greg Hill Show with Jackson in tow here on WEEI.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.